Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 17th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me, of course, is Tim, motherfucking Geddes. Tim.
What is up, Bless?
You listen to that that new Eminem?
I'm two-thirds through it.
Two-thirds through it.
Two-thirds. I like to listen to albums front to back, like to without skipping, without rewinding or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually I like doing it in one sitting, but it was too late last night. So I was like, I need to pay more attention to this. So I'm gonna get to that last third today.
Okay.
So far it's a ride. I'll tell you that.
It definitely is a ride. There's something about modern Eminem where you don't know what you're going to get.
Never.
But you know that you're probably going to be disappointed.
Absolutely. And I will say, not as disappointed as I expected to
really?
Be.
Really? Okay.
Not as stoked as I expected to be.
No.
It's kind of just, it's there. Yeah. I'm excited to finish it out. I see some Slaughterhouse features coming up.
Dude,
a little
yeah.
Slaughterhouse mini revival.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I think that's the thing is that I think a lot of the, so I think my favorite parts of this album are the parts where Eminem isn't rapping. Like there's a Juice WRLD feature on it. The Juice WRLD feature
but
is
But that
great.
One where he, I'm rapping on that song kind of kills
bad.
It.
Not bad at all. Yeah. But there's also like, there's a Royce da 5'9". Well, there's a couple of Royce da 5'9 features. There's a Black Thought feature on there.
Q-Tip.
Yeah. Like there's quite a few features on there where I'm like, all right, these kind of save it a little bit.
Yeah,
but
yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
If you guys want more of our thoughts on Eminem's latest album, what is it, Music to Murder By? Which I get is the
Music
Alfred
to Hitch- Be Murdered By, I think. I forget what it is.
Either way, I'm like, this doesn't fit the sound of this at all.
No.
But if you want more, tweet us. We might do a review of it next week. We might not. It depends on how much interest there is.
Yeah. Really
let
quick,
us know.
Have either of you listened to Mac Miller's album?
No, I
cool
want
Greg
to.
Cool Greg did. I
okay, yeah. I still need to download it and check it out.
Yeah, Mac Miller will probably be the next one I get to. Then probably Dreamville.
Ooh,
those are the three that dropped. I think they all dropped yesterday. I think Dreamville.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And so I'm going to get to those. But of course, this is a video games podcast, or a video game show, I should say. Today's stories include another delay, because we've upset the gods, apparently. Somebody out there hates us. Shuhei, Reggie, somebody, whoever it is, please forgive
Figure
us.
This out.
Yeah, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames where bronze members or above get to write in and silver members or above get the show ad free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Hims, and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting off.
Before you do that, this is housekeeping that I want to do and I forgot about. I want to show this baby off real fast.
Oh, yeah.
This debuting, if I remember correctly, next Tuesday on kindafunny.com/store. The new PS I Love You crew neck sweater. Is there any way we can get the one, Barrett?
Oh, yeah.
There it is. Look at how beautiful it is.
That's hot.
Hot. It's going to keep you warm in those winter nights, and it's going to make you look hot every other time.
I feel hot wearing it right now, Tim.
Yeah,
are you wearing it right now?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Dude, Barrett. I'm looking like a snack today, man.
Thank you.
Two C's, man.
All right. What's the first story?
Actually, also to add to housekeeping, I need to get better about this. I need to pay attention to what's going on Kinda Funny.
Kinda
Funny First Impressions.
You're right. First episode of First Impressions went up.
First episode of First Impressions. I think it was a really fun one. It's me, Andy, and Imran Khan were playing Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. We streamed it on Thursday evening, or Thursday afternoon. It was around 2 p.m. And it went up live today, this morning. And yeah, it's us playing Kakarot for about 55 minutes to an hour, talking about our first impressions, how we feel about the game so far. And I think it was a really good video. Like, I think it's a very good
look at the game.
Yeah, very good look at the game, but also a very good look at what Kinda Funny First Impressions is going to be.
Yeah,
right?
And we're doing it next week, too, if all goes as planned and there's no delays.
Yeah, you never
the
know
hell
what's
going to
happen
days.
Anymore.
But we're going to be doing Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC. The Remind.
Oh,
DLC.
Nice. Remind.
Yeah, I think that's going to be me, Imran, and I'm going to hit up Belinda, see if she's free.
Oh.
But we'll see what's up.
We'll see what's up. Number one, Iron Man VR gets delayed. This comes from developer Camouflage's Twitter. They write, "In order to deliver on our vision and meet the high expectations of our amazing community, we've made the difficult decision to move Marvel's Iron Man VR to a May 15, 2020 release. We truly appreciate your patience and understanding. You'll be hearing from us again soon." Iron Man VR was originally due out February 28th. Tim, what is happening?
You know, video games, man. I feel like there was a rush in the last couple of years to shift the industry towards the beginning of the year. And we've seen a lot of success with that, where before it was just fall.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it started off with like Dying Light.
It was Dying Light was the first kind of game that like tested the waters. And I don't think that was on purpose, but it seemed to work for them. And I think that from there, Sony's strategy definitely shifted to first party titles being in spring, while third party titles kind of hold down the fall. I think that we're now dealing with what originally caused that to happen, which was games that were being designed for the fall that shifted into the spring. Yeah. Now they're in the spring being shifted into the summer. It's interesting to look at all of these games, like pretty much all of the major games that we knew were coming in the first couple months of the year, all being shifted almost together in one push from March and April to May and September.
Yeah, or from... Yeah, exactly. Katie writes in and says, "Hey guys, now Iron Man VR is delayed. I have a theory that all the recent delays are a symptom of higher-ups wanting to get ahead of the new consoles and avoid the second half of this year, when the actual devs can't crunch hard enough to keep to that, which they knew all along, but unrealistic deadlines were still given and announced publicly. Do you think that's anywhere close to accurate? And if so, do you think there's any possibility of the console launches themselves being pushed back to early 2021 to avoid disrupting the end of this gen of game sales? Thanks for reading and have a good weekend."
I don't think so.
Yeah.
On any of those fronts. I don't think that the consoles are going to get delayed.
No,
I think
not
that
at all.
They're ready for that. They don't want to miss that holiday time. Like if there was a plan for a spring release of a console, I think that could be very successful. But they would have to double down on that now and be preparing people for it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to hit those holidays. I mean, we saw it with the Switch. That was a March launch, and that was massively successful.
And I think the Switch also is an interesting one because it is Nintendo, and they are kind of separate from the big boys, even though Nintendo, I guess you could call them a big boy, but they're not Xbox One. They're not Xbox, and they're not PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
And so they don't necessarily have to worry about big third-party games wanting to come out in the fall.
Exactly.
Right? And these consoles are going to want to launch with, you know, Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed or whatever big third-party titles are going to be there for launch for these consoles.
Yeah, because that is what's going to carry them, and it is what's going to push them through the holidays into next year when we start getting actual real exclusives of consoles.
And so I think there's literally 0% of consoles getting delayed into 2021, because a console getting delayed messes up so many things, right?
Yeah.
It messes up, you know, third-party releases, first-party releases, plans for the fiscal years. And it's kind of like a ripple effect where once you move a console forward, there are so many things down the line that just get shifted and pushed and get weird. And that I don't think that can happen unless there's something drastically messed up with like hardware that you can't fix through a patch in a console.
In terms of the delays happening because of you know, the higher ups kind of pushing them to get stuff out far enough away from the new gen, I don't buy it because of the games that are getting delayed and because of where they're getting delayed to. There's no chance that Cyberpunk wanted to be this close to the new the console launches without actually being on it as well, right? And I think that for them, they had this plan, and it's not like they to them, it's kind of the thing that matters least, where they can come out whenever and it's going to sell, I would say, equally, right? Cyberpunk's the type of game that can come out 3 months after the console launch and still just destroy. Yeah. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. I think the thing for me, I buy this a little bit in the sense that I think for Cyberpunk, there's obviously going to be a next-gen version of Cyberpunk. I think that's what everybody's guessing. And I can't remember if they've even hinted towards that. I think they might have. But I think for them, right, they could do the Last of Us thing where if they were to release Cyberpunk in, what was it originally, like May? Or was it
April?
Was it April? If they released Cyberpunk in April, they have that first big splash, right? There's like a 100 million, no.
104
million PS4s. Let's say 40 to 50 million Xboxes out there, right? And however many PCs. You know, they could hit all of those in spring and then have that second wind when the new consoles come out. And that's having two releases right there. When you smush those together, and that depends on when Cyberpunk will come out for next gen, right? It could be a GTA 5 situation where it comes out like a year later.
Yeah.
But having those two big splashes and being able to splash on current gen before next gen comes out, so that it doesn't feel like it's a previous gen title at that point, I think means a lot, or at least means something somewhat to these two publishers, right? I buy it more so for Marvel's Avengers, since that is a live game, and that is a game that I think has a big chance of getting looked over by coming out at the very end of the generation as opposed to spring before the end of the generation. Same with things like Watch Dogs Legion or Gods and Monsters, right? Like, there's like, and there's a lot of games that I got delayed this week because what's the one other one?
Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I could see the mindset of being like, hey, let's try and get these out earlier in the year to avoid just the all the information of a new console coming out, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's where people's eyes and ears are going to be focused coming up to a launch, right? You don't want to get in the way of launch titles. You don't want to get in the way of new consoles. You don't want to get in the way of fall releases. And so let's aim for spring. And then devs working on the game, they might know realistically that, like, yeah, this might not hit spring, but they try for it anyway. Yeah. And then realize that, like, yeah, this is not going to work. And so we have to put this out later.
Totally. I mean, I think one of the more interesting ones to look at is Final Fantasy VII, where it is a console at least timed exclusive. So it is a PlayStation exclusive game right now. Mm-hmm. And you'd imagine Sony has a lot to say and like push into trying to get it away from the console launch and stuff. It is just delayed a month. It's not like this one got pushed. Like, this one, I feel like, kind of has its own storyline.
For
going,
sure.
Right?
For sure. For sure.
But then you look at Iron Man VR today, and it's just like, that to me totally just screams like they need, more so than the other delays, this one feels like they need it to like fix the game.
Yeah.
Like, to make sure that it is where they need it to be, because it, I think, is lower profile than the other ones, especially because it has VR, which means there's less of an install base for even the people that could be interested in
it. That's one that I don't think applies to this reasoning, because, if Iron Man VR was delayed till fall, mm-hmm. right, it's not like, PSVR 2 isn't coming out, right? Like, Iron Man VR is the type of game that I think could come out post-PS5 and still be fine. Right, it'd probably still sell the same, do the same. Wouldn't really affect it as much as a standard release on a console. I think it kind of gets away from that. But other games, like for me, I think the main one I probably think of is Marvel's Avengers, where that game, when we even saw it at E3, it didn't seem like it was finished, right? Yeah. It seemed like it was kind of, it needed some
polish. It felt more like a vertical slice of a game than a full game. And that's scary because we haven't really seen that type of demo at E3 in a long time.
Really?
Like, in my experience, like, it was the first time I saw something, I'm like, oh man, this reminds me of like the early, like 2009 and before days of like E3 showing something where it's like, this is what the game is. And it feels more proof of concept than actual, like, oh, that's what the whole game's going to be. Mm-hmm. It felt like that is a demo that's trying to entice me, but everything else you're saying about the game doesn't back up what you showed me.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, I feel like, recently, where we saw more footage of Marvel's Avengers and got a better idea of what the game is, and more people started to feel more confident in it because they had probably more time to...
The demo was presented like Uncharted. The game and everything they've said since has been presented like Destiny.
Yeah. And so... That's an interesting thing, right? And I think that might apply to them wanting to get it out earlier and maybe not having all that stuff fleshed out and ready to go yet. Maybe similar with Ubisoft and their delays. If you remember, like, Gods and Monsters and Watch Dogs Legion were both supposed to come out, like, February, March-ish, and got delayed to Q3, Q4. And I think, that possibly could be a symptom of this. I think their reasoning was that they wanted to polish it up more because Ghost Recon... Breakpoint? Was that the one that came out in the fall? Breakpoint? Barry, do you remember?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think it's Breakpoint. The one with Punisher. Shane. Yeah, Shane from Walking Dead. That game didn't perform as well as they wanted it to. And in their earnings call, they talked about, we're going to push everything forward to give things more time to breathe and give things more time for development so that we're not making those same mistakes. That could be a symptom of, them thinking they want to get it out in February to avoid being... later, right? Or to avoid being out near the console launch. And like, I think if my theory is correct, which is they want Assassin's Creed out by launch, like this fall, because that probably makes sense for the 2-year rotation they're doing, maybe that contributes to them being like, okay, we need to get these games out as early as possible so we have time between Assassin's Creed, so we're not putting out Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed on top of each other.
Bury each other, yeah. Greg Miller just sent in something to me from Jordan Ramey over at GameSpot.
Oh.
No current plans for PS5, Xbox Series X versions of Cyberpunk 2077, says CD Projekt Red. As of right now, Cyberpunk is heading for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the PC. Nothing has changed in regard to those plans, CD Projekt Red CFO said on a teleconference call held to address questions about the new release date. We're going with the same plans that we set. Cyberpunk was always designed for PS4 and Xbox One. We're thinking about the next gen, but for now, we're focused on the current generation. That plan is still valid.
Interesting.
That said, in a previous financial report, they said, if there's an opportunity for us to launch Cyberpunk for another generation, we'd want to do this probably. So there's still a fairly strong possibility of them happening. Yeah. There's always something happening no matter what time of year you're looking at. The games industry is not an industry where you can say that any given month is safer for whatever reason. So in that regard, we don't see September as more threatening than April or June. Let's see. Though obviously no scheduled release date for a video game set in stone, CD Projekt Red is confident that it'll hit its new date and not be delayed again, saying, yeah, we pretty much know and understand what aspects of the game still require work.
Interesting.
So with this, this kind of goes against what I believe next gen is going to look like, but I still am pushing it because they can say whatever they want, and this still kind of fits with my theory that next gen and this gen are going to have a much more seamless integration than we've ever seen before. Avengers coming in September might not be that bad because it's going to be playable on Xbox Series X and
PS5.
PS5 in a way that before that wasn't the case. Back generations ago when it was the case, like even with, like let's say, going from PS2 to PS3, right? If you bought the specific version of the PS3 that was backwards compatible, you could, but that already split the fan base, whatever. Going a gen back from PS1 to PS2, sure, you could do that, but there weren't features like online or an ecosystem of trophies or whatever that had any... It didn't matter, right? Like, the only thing that mattered then is, like, can I save my games from PS1 and PS2? No.
No, yeah.
Cool. Well, that sucks. But now it's like, what is the difference between playing Avengers on PS4 or Avengers on PS5 if you're still using your PlayStation Plus account to play online and it's still tied to your account, right? So in some ways, getting this game, getting Avengers out in September, and let's say the launch lineup of PS5 is not that great, but it's still enticing when they can be like, hey, but Avengers is going to be better on PS, it's best on PS5, right? All Sony needs to do is come up with some type of marketing thing to be like, best on PS5.
And that's the thing. I think for Avengers, like everything you said applies. For Cyberpunk, I don't believe them, right? I think they are, like, they're for sure going to put out a PS5 version, whether it's like a year down the line or whenever it is, it's going to happen. Even with backwards compatibility, I think there will be some sort of thing they can put on the box, right? Whether it is Game of the Year edition or ray tracing edition, I don't know. Like, I don't know how that stuff's going to look with the PS5 yet, but I think there's too much money there for them to for them not to put it out on PS5 and or make a new version. Even if it is like a Game of the Year edition, which, you know, doesn't necessarily, that's a thing that could happen on the same console generation. I think for PS5, they'll want to individualize it somehow.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, then here's the thing. We've talked about this on Games Daily before, and there's been a lot of information both ways with evidence that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. But what is Halo Infinite going to look like? Like, what's the box of Halo Infinite going to look like?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, does it just say Xbox?
At what point does Xbox just shift entirely over to Xbox branding, where it's not Xbox One or Xbox, since, like, this game just works. It just works, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I feel like that could kind of dictate a lot of what this means, because what if it was you just buy Cyberpunk, it's best on, if you're on the Sony side, it's best on PlayStation 5, and it is a patch. It is some type of download that gives you the ray tracing and all the fancy bullshit, you know?
Interesting.
The money's still there if you do it that way. It's not as much money because you're not double dipping completely. But at that point, that's when you do ship another box of Game of the Year edition just to do that, to give people the option to buy physically, you know?
Yeah. This is my favorite time of the year, of the console generation. It's crazy, where we just don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know anything.
And soon we're going to know everything. It's just like all of a sudden everything's going to click and it's going to be like, oh, this is what it looks like. And we have so much information already. And like with all these delays, it's crazy. Like we're at a point that unless these games get delayed again, which could totally happen, there's not many more games that can get delayed of consequence.
Yeah.
I feel like what's left on the list? Ori?
Ori. They're probably not going to delay Doom Eternal again. I'm going to open up my doc of like games that are coming out, because one, I have to update it because of all these new dates, but also I just want to see what's left.
Like games 2020, Dreams is not going to get delayed.
Is it not going to get delayed?
I mean, I guess you're right. I haven't heard much about it, but like I feel like we would have heard by now if the game coming out in
that's less than a month,
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Crazier things have happened.
Crazier things have happened.
When does Persona 5 Scramble have a date?
Not for only in Japan. US. It's only
it's
Japan.
February 20th in Japan.
Yeah.
It'll
probably come out in like September in US or something like that.
All right.
Yeah. As a reminder, Dreams has gone gold. They've already put out.
Oh,
a
it's gone gold?
Yeah.
Oh, dope. Okay.
Hey, Bleeding Edge, March 24th. Like
that could get
that's
delayed.
One that like it totally could get delayed, or like I wouldn't be surprised if it actually hits the date, because I feel like that game's just been happening in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Half-Life Alyx is the one where I'm like, I don't believe that's hit in March.
Really? You think that's going to
be
for sure?
I mean, I just don't believe it's going to, but I also don't think that they would have said it if they weren't ready for it.
But again, this is what I said yesterday, I think, with Greg and Fran or whatever. This is we're 2 months away from March, essentially, and they've only given a month. They haven't even given like an actual date yet, which I find very weird. And For Half-Life Alyx.
Wait, they're not going to give a date for that one?
They haven't given a date. It's just March.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then the other thing I think Greg brought up was that apparently they're supposed to be at the Game Awards, and then they dropped out last second.
I mean,
so, that's weird.
Yeah. The Game Awards date was announced with a Half-Life announcement.
Yeah.
About they were going to be there, and then they, at the last second, like an hour before the show, pulled out.
Yeah.
But what does I don't know what message that is, because to me, the scheming motherfucker that I am, I take that as there's some disagreements between the high ups of Valve and like how they want to talk about this game. Because mm-hmm. like they control the messaging of this in a way that I don't think we've ever seen for a video game before, where they can literally do whatever they want and they don't need marketing for this game. It's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Right? I think that as close as we want, they can do just one more event and they're like, here's what the game is, here's the blowout, here's the date. And people are going to be like, all right, I'm in. You know?
Yeah. We'll see, man.
Yeah.
We'll see. This fall, or this spring, nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe.
The people who are left, the games that are left, are like two at this point.
Yeah, honestly, there's just not that many left. Like, Last of Us, I do not think it's going to get delayed.
Yeah.
We still have Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII, I mean, it got delayed till the 1 month. Like, to me, that 1 month is, like, we got to figure out these final things. We saw it with Final Fantasy XV.
Right.
It got delayed, well, I mean,
technically,
it officially
got
delayed once.
Yeah.
And then it happened when the next time that they said.
Yep.
And then Resident Evil 3, that one like seems locked. And then the last game of consequence is Fast and Furious Crossroads.
Yeah. Which, can that get delayed? We'll see. Number two, Call of Duty totally dominated the 20 best-selling video games of the decade. This is from Eric Kane of Forbes. The NPD Group has come out with its report on the best-selling games in the United States. This time, the report not only details last month's sales, but also last year's in the last decade. The best-selling games of 2010 through 2019 are largely dominated by Call of Duty and Rockstar. Call of Duty titles make up 7 out of the top 10 games of the decade, and fully half of the top 20.
Jesus.
Dude, Activision is getting that money. Rockstar, meanwhile, holds the number one spot. Here are the top 20 best-selling games of 2010 through 2019. So this is of the last decade. I'm going to start at number 20 to make it fun.
Yeah, I was about to say, start at the end. Cause
so number 20, Star Wars Battlefront 2015, which I would not have guessed.
That's fucking wild.
That's super wild.
Well, that's also before, like, people were buying that game because we didn't know if it was going to be a disappointment or not.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but even still,
think that's wild at all.
Really?
That was like
Star Wars Battlefront?
The first EA, like the first like major Star Wars game after the Disney acquisition.
Yeah, but weren't people
it
like
it looked beautiful.
It looked amazing, but I feel like once that game came out, people were like immediately upset with it.
Oh
they?
Yeah, but
that
that's
was
the
after
thing,
they bought
that,
it.
Yeah, that's after they bought it though.
Yeah.
It's like we have our thoughts on Star Wars Battlefront now, but like there was an excitement. Like it reminds me of the excitement there was before that game came out.
But even
it
still,
was pretty as fuck.
To reach this type of sales, I feel like that's over time. They have to accumulate that, right? So even if this game sold millions at launch, for it to like continue to sell enough for
it's
it to
Star
make top
Wars,
20,
man, like they have that name recognition that it's like the mom and pop walking into a game.
Oh yeah,
store.
I mean, that's
you know
true.
What I mean? Just
you see
being
Star
like,
Wars.
Oh man,
like,
and
oh.
like how discounted was this?
True.
You know.
True. True. Then number 19, we have The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild.
Hell yeah!
Which is pretty awesome. That game came out in 2017, and so that's over the last 3 years it was able to make
across two consoles.
Yeah, across two consoles.
Yeah,
the
it
Wii
sold,
U,
you know, approximately, the, what was it, like 15 million on the Switch
and
like
and
two copies
like,
on the
Wii U? Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty cool. Number 18, Destiny. Number 17, Battlefield 4. Number 16, Battlefield 1. Number 15, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Number 14, Mario Kart 8.
Hell yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I wonder if that counts Mario Kart 8
Deluxe.
It
has
must.
To.
It's got to.
There's no
because
way it doesn't. Because like, there's only
the
3
Wii U
million,
only had 13
million.
Or 13
million Wii Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it seems weird though. I don't know that like that's
because Mario Kart 8
some shady counting.
And if you look, if you look at the list, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe isn't on there, and so it has to.
Yeah,
because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe would have already outsold Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
The number 13 we have Elder Scrolls V: Skyrim. Number 12, we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019. I'm surprised Skyrim is only number 13.
I know.
But I guess Call of Duty is just a powerhouse.
The amount of systems that thing is on.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Number 11, we have Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. And number 10, we have Minecraft. And number 9, we have Call of Duty Black Ops 4. I hate that they don't do regular Roman numerals. They have four eyes, or four letter eyes. And so I looked at it, I was like, is that 3 or 4? Number 8, we have Call of Duty World War II. Number 7, we have Red Dead Redemption 2.
Which is wild.
That is wild. And number 6, we have Call of Duty Ghosts. And number 5, we have Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And number 4, we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. At number 3, we have Call of Duty Black Ops 2. And number 2, we have Call of Duty Black Ops. And at number 1, we have Grand Theft Auto 5. So I feel like a lot of that is to be expected, especially GTA 5 at number 1.
Yeah. And but, Black Ops 1, I'm surprised Black Ops 2 is all the way up there, but Black Ops 1.
Dude, Black Ops.
Yeah. The first one, dude?
I pretty much love all the Black Ops games.
Catch me in Gun Game. What's up, man?
Oh, dude, do you want to play some Gun Game?
Let's go.
Play some Gun Game. I used to love Gun Game.
Gun Game was like almost the Battle Royale before Battle Royale existed.
Yeah, I mean, Gun Game and Sticks and Stones were the two modes me and my homies played all the time.
Fuck yeah.
I think, was it Black Ops 2 that had like the ship map that you would play on? That had like a yacht. I think that was 2.
Are you sure?
I want to say I'm positive it was 2.
Okay.
Because Black Ops 3 was on PS4. Black Ops 2, I want to say, was PS3. It was, I think that was the one where we played on the ship.
Okay.
But yeah, it was ship, Sticks and Stones. Dude, so much fun.
So much fun.
So much fun.
Fucking awesome.
The most surprising thing to me here is Minecraft at number 10.
I know.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's why I'm curious on.
So
what
I'm doing a little digging here.
Is it sales?
Minecraft sales. We're seeing that. I mean, as of May 2019, it says they've officially sold 176 million copies worldwide. That's a fuck ton of copies.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking is Minecraft technically came out May 17th, 2009. So what if the sales from June to December don't count towards this because they weren't sold in the decade?
I mean, probably not. But I imagine for sales, is this counting copies sold or is it counting money made? Because I feel like money made in Minecraft isn't.
No, it's copies sold.
Is it copies sold?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, it's sales like this are always copies sold because you can't.
Oh, okay.
You can't. If you counted the like microtransactions and shit, it would be like Tencent games everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
True. This is fair. Interesting.
Yeah, the Minecraft thing.
But like, was Minecraft popping like that in the first 6 months?
Oh,
that's
dude,
that's the question though. I don't think it was.
And that's the other thing where it's like, wasn't Minecraft like free for a bit when it was first coming out? Shit, I don't know. That was like 11 years ago. I barely remember. Like, this
I feel
morning.
Like I remember.
You had a pacifier in your mouth.
Fuck you, Tim. I was only a year younger than Blessing.
Yeah, dude. I just got body trained at that point.
God damn.
All right, hold on.
You can't lean into it too, Bless. Come on.
See, some of this doesn't make sense to me because it's like the Call of Duty franchise has sold over an estimated 250 million units
also,
worldwide.
Also, this is MPD, this is only
2016.
This is digital, not included.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so I think that's probably the thing because Minecraft.
And there you go, ladies.
Minecraft is one of those games that you probably would have gotten digital.
Yep. The vast majority of people got it digital.
Yeah. Let's get into the top 10 selling video games of December 2019. Let's see. Starting at number 10, we have Minecraft. Number 9, we have Pokemon Shield. Number 8, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Number 7, Mario Kart 8. Number 6, Pokemon Sword. Number 5, Luigi's Mansion 3. Number 4, NBA 2K20. Number 3, Madden NFL 20. And then number 2, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Number 1, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019. That's December. And then the top 10 selling video games of 2019. So this is year to date ending in December 2019. Number 10, we have Mario Kart 8. And here they have an asterisk. I'm wondering if that asterisk will tell me.
I think it's
deluxe.
But I think it's specifically like Nintendo doesn't give out their digital sales or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's probably what it is. Because, yeah, they're still not saying deluxe, but we're just going to assume it's deluxe. Number 9, we have Tom Clancy's The Division 2. And number 8, we have Kingdom Hearts 3. And number 7, we have Smash Brothers Ultimate. And number 6, we have Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And number 5, we have Mortal Kombat 11. And number 4, we have Borderlands 3. And number 3, we have Madden NFL 20. And number 2, we have NBA 2K20. And number 1, we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019.
Checks out.
Damn.
Checks out. Checks out, checks out. Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Tim. MPD released the top-selling games of the decade, and while it's no huge surprise GTA 5 is at the top, it is somewhat shocking to me that only one of them is a solely single-player game. If I really think about it, I shouldn't be surprised. It shouldn't be surprising that the list is made up of multiple Call of Duty games, but even the bad ones still outsold games like The Last of Us, Bioshock Infinite, Mass Effect 2, and any of the Soul games. Any of the rebooted Tomb Raider games, and the list goes on. With Skyrim being the new Doom in terms of it being on everything, do you think console exclusivity hurts single player games from selling copies in terms of making these top selling lists? Would putting them on every console help them, since most of the games I've listed are on the major consoles? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the answer. Yeah. The thing is, though, when you look at games like Last of Us or Horizon or like God of War, right? Like, the point of those games isn't necessarily to sell units. Like, they aren't to sell game units, right? They are to sell consoles. And so in that sense, they're fulfilling their purpose, right? If Last of Us was cross-console, was on PC and Switch and everything, right? Like, it'd sell way more copies, but Sony more so wants that game to sell PlayStation more than
it's about attach rate.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, is I feel that when you look at first party titles, they do sell more on the console than third party games tend to do on the single console, because it is exclusive, and that's the point. So let's just say that Horizon 2 will sell 14 million on PS5, whatever, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and if it was multi-plat, then total it might sell 20 million. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like, there's so much more on PlayStation because it is an exclusive, and because people are going there as a destination event to play that game. And they're buying the console for that game. I also just think that, you know, it's an impossible thing to chase the making the highest selling games of all time, or all the decade lists. Like,
yeah,
there are games... There's a system to that. You can look at the rankings and totally see what it is. And it is. It's Grand Theft Auto. It's Call of Duty. It's these games that have the mainstream hooks in social dynamics of keeping you playing year after year.
And that's the thing, right? Like, a lot of these games continue to sell and sell and sell because, you know, people want to play with their friends. There's more content being added over time. And there's reasons to keep returning to the game over and over and over again. That's why GTA 5 is top 10 every year still, even though that game originally came out in 2013.
And it's not because of the campaign.
That's the thing is
you finish the campaign and get, like, for even the most amazing campaign like Last of Us, mm-hmm. it's like that there, it's limited on how many copies it can sell.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not going to have the type of reach of people being like, you got to buy it. Also, there's the borrow ability, right? Where it's like, oh man, I borrowed my friend Curran borrowed my Last of Us, beat Last of Us. He didn't need to buy Last of Us. He's going to buy Last of Us 2 now, so there's an advantage there.
Yeah.
But whereas Call of Duty, it's like, oh, man, we all want to play. We all need copies of the game.
Exactly. We all need copies of the game. And, like, with that, even over time, right, we're gonna have people come and join us and play with us, you know, 5 years from now, because these games last, right? Maybe not with Call of Duty. Call of Duty might not last for 5 years. But something like Mario Kart 8, right? Like, that Mario Kart is always one of the top-selling games on Switch, because it's a communal experience. It's something that's easy for everybody to kind of jump into.
Yeah.
And so, number three, CD Projekt Red reveals that development staff have been required to crunch on upcoming RPG. This is from Brendan Sinclair with additional reporting by Hayden Taylor. And this is an update also to their article that I think Greg and Fran might have talked about yesterday.
There's a required reading today of Jason Schreier over at Kotaku. He did a very in-depth look at this. And, you know, he's always the one that's kind of the leading journalist when it comes to
reporting on covering like studio
unions,
culture.
Studio culture, all that stuff.
Yeah, and so this is essentially GameIndustry.biz's update to their story yesterday about how Cyberpunk was delayed. So this says, update January 17th, 2020. In a call with investors, CD Projekt joint CEO Adam Kaczynski confirmed that studio staff have been required to crunch on the development of Cyberpunk 2077. They wrote, it's a typo, they say 20,177. During the call, one investor asked if the development team had been required to crunch. To which Kaczynski responded, quote, "To some degree, yes, to be honest. We try to limit crunch as much as possible, but it is the final stage. We try to be reasonable in this regard, but yes, unfortunately." End quote. Last year, CD Projekt Red announced it was introducing a non-obligatory crunch policy and asked developers to push back if the hours were too punishing. The developer has also faced criticism previously over working conditions and in 2017 responded to a deluge of negative reviews on workplace review website Glassdoor. One person wrote at the time, quote, "Crunch here is insane. We read about Bungie's crunch and Mass Effect Andromeda crunch and laughed, and crunch will hit current project hard. Because spreadsheet planning plus incompetent overseers equals hemorrhoids, bad back, and depression," end quote.
Oof.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, man.
That's rough.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
And this is, go read the Jason Schreier article because I feel like he definitely adds a lot of context to this of potential solutions and stuff, a lot of them involving unions. But I don't know. I don't know the solution to this. We've talked about this so many times over the last couple of years, and we're going to continue to talk about it a lot. It sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying that something is not a obligatory crunch is like, okay, but really, though, is it?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing to support that versus...
Exactly. Like, are you encouraging this behavior? Does it, do workers feel safe pushing back? You know, what is the state of your studio and in the culture of your studio, and how is that, does that reflect in the final product? And does that reflect in how your workers are feeling at the end of the day?
In Jason's article, there's a bit talking about Crystal Dynamics and something that they do there where if you get a raffle ticket for overtime hours worked, and then you can win stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of incentivizes.
Yeah, that is like an incentive to...
And it's just like, that sounds super shady if you want it to. It also sounds like, hey, at least they're trying to come up with something to keep you going. But it's just like, man, it just sucks. It sucks that there's not a clean answer hey, the working environments are going to be...
Yeah, it's like just
perfect, and the games are going to come out every 10 years.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. And there was a question, I didn't include the question, but there was a question that I saw written in of somebody being like, how do we, do we buy the games that get crunched on, or how do we respond and all this stuff as consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing to think about, right? I think for me, the thing I always come back to is that it's kind of on each individual to figure out, what is your line? What are you comfortable with? I think the thing I kind of look at when it comes to development and when it comes to workplace culture and whether or not I should buy a game is that a lot of times people who work on a game still care about that product even if those conditions aren't the conditions in which they are developing that product aren't the best, right? Like I remember watching the Telltale documentary that Noclip did, shout out to Noclip, and this is after Telltale had closed all of a sudden, right? And essentially screwed all their workers. And there are people talking about how they were so excited for the next game they're making. They knew conditions here aren't necessarily the best working conditions in the world. And Telltale isn't necessarily, doing their best to really put us in a position to succeed. This engine sucks. All this different stuff sucks. But they're still extremely excited about the next project they're working on. And you can see in their eyes, they're passionate about it. Right. And for me, I'm like, do I not buy a game even though this person that worked on it is passionate about it because of how the studio is treating this person? That still feels shitty.
It does. And so again, it goes back to there's no right answer because not supporting the game means you're not supporting these people. And they're going to not have a job potentially. It's going to hurt them before it hurts the higher ups.
Exactly. That's the thing. Number four. Cyberpunk 2077 multiplayer likely not playable until after 2021. This is from IGN's Matt Kim. On the heels of today's news that Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed to September, CD Projekt Red's leadership also confirmed that the planned multiplayer should not be expected until after 2021. Following today's announcement, that's the same paragraph, to which CD Projekt Red says the mode should not be expected for a couple of years. Quote, "Given the expected release of Cyberpunk 2077 in September, and speaking of a series of events we expect to occur after that date, 2021 appears unlikely as a release date for the Cyberpunk multiplayer," says Michael Nowakowski of CD Projekt Red's member of the board and SVP of Business Development.
Wait.
Yo.
"Given the expected release of Cyberpunk 2077 in September, and speaking of a series of events we expect to occur after that date..." 2021 appears unlikely as a release. So you're telling me you're not working on a Xbox Series X and PS5 version or some type of enhancements?
That's a good point.
Like, what you talking about?
I didn't even think about that quote right there. A series of events we expect to occur after that day. That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, they could mean updates for the game.
Yeah, true, yeah. True.
But, yeah, that is an interesting way to put it. Now, Nowakowski also confirmed that the AAA title CD Projekt Red is developing in parallel to Cyberpunk 2077 is the Cyberpunk multiplayer. Players have wondered about Cyberpunk 2077's multiplayer since it was revealed at E3, and while CD Projekt Red said it was exploring the mode, the studio officially confirmed multiplayer in September 2019. It also confirmed Cyberpunk 2077 multiplayer wouldn't be available at launch, but we finally received confirmation it likely won't be ready for another couple years. Tim, what do you think Cyberpunk 2077's multiplayer could be? If you had to guess, if you had to predict...
I don't know, but I think it's an attempt to GTA Online this bitch.
Really? That'd be crazy.
I mean, my thing is, like, I think to a lesser degree, and I don't think it's going to eventually turn into this thing where it's like it totally changes what the core game is like GTA Online did. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that this is them being like, all right, we're building this huge world. How can we keep people in it, right? And like maybe GTA Online is like a bit... not the right thing, maybe more of like a MMORPG type thing of like trying to get people in to keep the world going for years to come. But like, you got to imagine they're like, all right, look what we did with Witcher 3. And like, it is critically acclaimed. People love it. It got people in to play a type of game that a lot of people wouldn't typically be interested in. Mm-hmm. But it was so good that people couldn't not give it a shot, right?
Yeah.
They're now doing Cyberpunk, which I think is going to have the pedigree of Witcher and like the critical acclaim of Witcher, but with an aesthetic that speaks to many more people. Mm. That I feel like people are going to be like, I'm willing to give this thing a shot just because it looks cool.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're going to be playing a game and they're like, fuck, this is awesome. How do you then, once the single player is done, keep them coming back, keep them going, and try to get this game to break the next decade's most sold list? Because I think that it does have a chance.
Yeah.
If you have that multiplayer, you need that multiplayer.
Man, that's real. I didn't even think about that angle. I was thinking like a first-person shooter mode, or like, I mean, the game is going to be first-person, but like an FPS competitive kind of thing.
Mm.
But I think I like your idea better. I think that's more important because like Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be an RPG, obviously, and I think with the systems you have there, it's easier to kind of make like a quest-based like co-op thing with your friends as opposed to just like a straight-up like first-person shooter. I don't know how well or how good it feels to play Cyberpunk. I don't know if it feels like a FPS. Like, I don't know if it feels as good as a Call of Duty or an Apex Legends. I imagine it doesn't because it has so much going on. It's kind of like a conversation we had about Outer Worlds I think earlier this week, or I think it was last week actually. But I think you're onto something.
I mean, imagine if they made Cyberpunk and it's freaking awesome and everyone falls in love with it and it's critically acclaimed and it sells well and everybody wants more. And then you do Fallout 76 right.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
I think that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, Tim,
mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to Cyberpunk 2077's multiplayer, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But that's so far away.
So far away.
If I wanted to know what is coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we have Far Out for Xbox One, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Once again, check out our first impressions on that. Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore for Switch, Hovership Havoc for Xbox One, Red Bow for Switch, So Many Me Extended Edition for Switch, Adventure Pinball Bundle for Switch, Revenant March for PC and Mac, Aria, Pathway to Dawn for PC, Lena's Inception for PC, Tower of God One Wish for PC, and then new dates, Iron Man VR has been pushed to May 15th. Deal of the day, Borzen00 writes in and says, good morning. I just want to shout out a deal of the day. Humble has for $25 maybe the best collection of PC games, and it 100% supports the animals and wildlife affected by the fire raging in Australia. If you want a distraction from doing taxes and support a good cause, this is a good week for it. Some highlights are one of the best Metroidvania games I've ever played, Hollow Knight, Duck Game, Void Bastards, Mr. Shifty, and Death Squared. Even if you Even if you aren't doing taxes on a PC, then still maybe pick up this package and give the codes away, or save them for when you decide maybe my taxes need to be ray traced and upgrade your tax box, because while most wildlife in Australia might want to kill you, they still deserve to be saved. So there you go. Deal of the day.
There you go.
Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. Between hitting the gym, eating cleaner, or learning a new skill, there are a lot of ways we can better ourselves in the new year. But I can't think of one that's more important than starting the year off tackling high interest credit card debt. My friends at Upstart.com are here to help. Upstart is a revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter ways to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. That's the next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kfgames. Hurry up to upstart.com/KF Games to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Let me also tell you about Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. There's a problem out there. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots yet? Let me tell you, I've started dealing with my hairline receding, and it's not fun. If I knew about Hims a few years ago, it could have made a world of difference. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some.
Just like Andy and Nick have been doing, man. Really? It's been working. Oh, yeah, man. For years now, they've been using this stuff. Yeah. And have you seen Andy?
Dude, hair is luscious.
Head of hair, man.
Looking like a snack.
Gotta love
snack
it.
Snack number two in this office. Am I right, Barrett? Oh,
love
man.
You so much, bless.
The best way to prevent more hair loss, like I said, is to do something about it while you still have some. It's time to get a handle on those precious locks. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows that some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. No more awkward in-person doctor's visits or long pharmacy lines. For Hims connects you to real-life doctors online, which could save you hours. Completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Remember, that's forhims.com/gamesdaily. And lastly, we're brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly. No matter what brand you use, Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every three months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelled GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company.
It's true. All of it. While you were doing that, nanobiologist in the You're Wrong section sent us a couple breaking news stories that I wanted to look at real quick. Barrett, can you bring up what I sent assets, please? At a VR conference over in China, the China president of HTC Vive was given a little presentation, and he had some slides. Can you bring up that slide, please? Yes, yes. So bring it up, please. These are just some of the things that he talked about.
Oh.
606 depth of field becomes new AOI standard. I don't know if that's depth of field. I'm just guessing. It's probably not. Natural UI, blah, blah, blah. B2B adoption. Mm-hmm. Valve Half-Life Alyx / Left 4 Dead 3.
Whoa.
Will drive consumer and AAA studio interest.
Whoa.
Now, hey, this is definitely not a confirmation by any means, but this is the president of Vive in China.
LFD3. Wow.
In VR, which we all kind of expected.
Did we expect this?
Yeah. I think everyone expected if we got another Left 4 Dead, it would be in VR.
Really? I wouldn't even thought that was.
It's been rumored for a long time.
Interesting.
But anyway, again, not a confirmation, but.
That's exciting.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. What bullshit stuff. Barrett Courtney just had that look on his face like he has some bullshit to say.
Someone brought up in the chat of like Portal 3 in VR, I'm calling it. And that's just like, I don't want that.
You don't want Portal 3? Well,
no.
I don't want to throw up in VR.
Do you remember what Portal 1 and 2 fucking
but
feel
still,
like?
They could design around VR, that. Dude. The thing though is that I just
want to fucking play a normal video game and it's just Portal.
Daniel Dwyer did an interview with the people working on Half-Life Alyx, and they talked about wanting to do Portal VR, but they said that they couldn't be for that exact reason.
Yeah,
like,
can't make it work.
Yeah, we can't make it work without people getting sick because Portal's all about flinging yourself all around the place.
Just fling yourself.
The other story that Nanobiologist sent over to us is from VideoGamesChronicle.com. It's an exclusive. Ubisoft revamps editorial team to make its games more unique.
Interesting.
This is another thing I'm going to put as a required reading. So go to VideoGamesChronicle.com and go check it out. But I will read a couple of highlights here. Ubisoft will announce plans to restructure the influential creative team, which steers the direction of all its games following a difficult year for the publisher. It was the editorial team that drove the company towards open world and systemic games, pushed online elements, and insisted that its narratives had a thematic basis in the real world, but avoided taking a political stance. Quote, we are reinforcing our editorial team to be more agile and better accompany our development teams around the world as they create the best gaming experiences for players. A key goal of the editorial team's restructuring is to make Ubisoft's software lineup more varied. In the past, Ubisoft has been accused of including similar features in too many of its games, the CEO, our boy Yves, said in October it would make an effort to differentiate them. Where was this? It is believed that by spreading the editorial's responsibilities across a group of leaders, the team can bring a more distinct identity to their respective games. VGC was also told that simply expanding the group's resources and giving it some presence outside of Paris could have just as much of a positive impact. Previously, every game would be assigned to at least one line designer and line producer, which would oversee the project from Paris and provide editorial guidelines. However, they wouldn't have autonomy to offer their own guidelines and ultimately follow the CCO's direction. One anonymous source told VGC, in the previous system that editorial had, there were often the ideas of just one or two people getting put into every game. That's why you tended to see such similarity, because it's the same taste and opinion being replicated. This is cool.
Yeah.
This is dope news. I hope that this gets picked up and a bit more widespread.
Yeah. No, that all sounds really cool. Interesting. Yeah.
Video games are cool, man.
Video games are cool. Marcus Hutchins writes in and says, hey, guys, I'd love to know, what do you think each other's Game of the Year will be? What do you think the other KF employees' Game of the Year will be? And what do you think your own Game of the Year will be? What's good games?
Dude.
What's good games did this recently? And I thought this was fun.
This is a fantastic question.
Yeah, this is a great question. I'm excited for this. I think my own top three Game of the Years will be Breath of the Wild 2, Keep Dreaming. I don't know if that game's going to come out this year. I'm not going to hope for it.
I'm hoping for it. I believe. I fucking believe, Nintendo.
I just can't take any more disappointment. This has been a week of delays, and Lord knows. Honestly, though, the games industry kind of needs a win.
It does.
So Breath of the Wild 2 coming out.
Let's go, dude.
2020, your dreams. 2, Hollow Knight, Silksong, and Cyberpunk 2077, him talking about his own top 3. He says, keep up the great work. Keep up the great work and have a great weekend. Blessing is an awesome addition. Thank you, Marcus.
This is a fucking fantastic question.
So,
what will be Blessing's game of the year?
I'm going to guess yours is going to be Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yeah, you already see him all in on it.
I mean,
that's absolutely going to be your game of the year.
I'm all in, and if it succeeds at what it's going for, I can't imagine it not being my game.
The only reason, like, for me thinking about you is like either FF7 or RE3, and the only reason I know it probably won't be RE3 is because the original you weren't super into.
Yeah. So they would have to significantly change RE3 for it to be up there for me. Mm-hmm. My thing is Cyberpunk. I really think that it has the chance to...
I think it'll definitely be like in your top 5, but as you've said before, Cyberpunk of like what it actually isn't really a Tim Bettis
game. Yeah, and that's my thing.
That's the thing is I feel like that is what would allow me that I would give that my game of the year if it introduced me to something that I've never done before.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I first played Fire Emblem Path of Radiance when it came out. That was my game of the year that year just because I was like, I didn't know a game like this existed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the same with me and Persona 5, where Persona 5 was my game of the year over Breath of the Wild because Persona 5, you know, was like a completely new thing for me. And, you know, Breath of the Wild is, you know.
How dare you?
There's just a lot of walking and shit. There's not enough anime friendship fighting gods and taking down
you the
establishment.
You just need to live your life different, dude. That's my real look. I play video games for escape. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have anime friends in real
Barrett
life.
Barrett plays video games for friendship.
Because I have no friends.
But all right, let's see. I don't know.
Really? He's a wild card, man.
Yeah.
Because your game of the year for 2019 was a game that like shadow dropped, you know? Like, who fucking knows, you know?
True. But it was also the best game of the year. Apex Legends.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
More people should have had that opinion.
Okay.
I think I know what mine will be. I think Barrett's will be Persona 5 Royal, if that counts.
Yeah, that was my thing. It was like all of like my possible game of the years are either games that have been released before or games that don't quite exist yet. Like if Breath of the Wild 2 does come out, maybe that's up there. If like this Batman game fucking exists and actually comes out this year, who the fuck knows? WB Montreal, stop torturing me. Like maybe that might be my game of the year. Persona 5 Royal, does that count? Because it's like
it's the same game.
It's pretty much the same game.
If that doesn't count,
with the games that have already been announced, I think Cyberpunk will be up there. I think Final Fantasy might be up there. I'd be surprised if Doom wasn't up there.
The Doom 2016?
I did. I never beat it, though.
Oh, man.
I know. But I got through, like, a significant amount of it. But everything that they've shown me in this game, it's like, oh, shit, this seems like it's going to keep my attention the entire time. And that's actually my guess for you as far as games
Doom Eternal?
Is Doom Eternal.
I don't think so.
No?
Like, because Doom came out in 2016.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, Doom would probably be my top 5 2016, but I could think of a couple other games.
So where's your head at? What do you think for you?
For me? Probably Cyberpunk, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't want... It's basic, but...
Oh, wait. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
We're forgetting about Last of Us.
No, and that's what I was saying. I think Greg Miller's easily will be Last of Us.
Yeah.
We're talking about other people in the office.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if his game of the year isn't
Greg's,
Last of Us.
Greg's, I think, will be Last of Us. For me, Final Fantasy VII, it's game to lose. Like, that game, from everything I've seen from it and experienced from it, like, the amount of times I've went back and watched the gameplay videos that they've put up just to hear the fucking music, like, the arrangements that they did of the music, it's like, there's so much care being put into making that game, like, a dream for me.
And that's my thing is, I think there's a chance Final Fantasy VII could take it from me. It would have to topple Last of Us and Cyberpunk.
Which is going to be really hard.
Which is going to be difficult, but I think that game, I really... love games with great soundtracks.
Yeah.
Like, soundtracks, like, are way highly for me as far as, like, how
me
into
too.
A game am I going to get. And so, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake probably is going to have the best soundtrack of this year, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
I mean, that could take again, I know it doesn't really count, but Persona 5 Royal is coming out this year, so.
Yeah, like, but it's going to have, like, a lot of the same music.
Yeah, but it'll be some new music.
Doom Eternal's soundtrack is going to be great, I imagine.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
If it's anything like the first one.
I've... I'm trying to think of the other guys too now. Like Andy, Andy's another wild card. Who fucking knows with him?
Andy, it has to be Cyberpunk. Andy's the most cyberpunk motherfucker I know.
100%.
What about Nick? What's Nick's game of the year?
Nick could be the one who's Doom Eternal, I imagine.
I don't think so.
That's really not a bad guess, though.
Or Cyberpunk.
I think Cyberpunk's going to lose Nick eventually. Yeah. I think he will give it a shot, but I think it's just going to be too big at some point. But Nick gets weirdly caught up in games. Like, Nick gets caught up in, like, the Far Cry games.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And, or, like Nick beat Rage 2. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But Nick's playing Last of Us for the first time. This year.
Last of Us 1 will be Nick's game of the year 2020.
Last of Us 1 could be his game of the year. But I bet that Nick will also play Last of Us 2. And because of that, Nick's never played a Naughty Dog game.
Oh.
So it's like he's going in like fresh to this. I can see Last of Us 2 being the front runner.
Here's the thing.
That's a good point.
Last of Us is a very cinematic game. Nick, does he have the greatest movie opinions?
No. Absolutely
I can very
not.
Well see Nick being like, the story was all right. Yeah. But like,
yeah. The acting was fine. It was okay.
Uncut Gems is better.
Daddy's Home 3, dude.
I'm trying.
And Joey's is gonna be Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Joey's
or Persona 5 Royal.
No, hers. She'll put Animal Crossing above Persona 5.
Really?
Yeah, but here's the thing with Joey. I'm gonna put a wild card answer out for Joey.
Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal.
Really?
I think so, man.
Really?
Again, it's another situation. It's that game to lose where it's like, if it hooks her right, I think Doom Eternal is going to be Joey's game.
Someone in the chat was mentioning Predator Hunting Grounds
for Greg,
for Nick, weirdly enough. But I honestly think that might be Greg's number two game of the year.
I think it'll be his number two. I really do, man. Yeah. He just loves that type of game.
Yeah.
Interesting. Midnight Owl writes in and says, hey guys, MPD have released numbers of the year, and they go like this. Best-selling game of December 2019, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Best-selling game of 2019, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Best-selling game of the decade, Grand Theft Auto 5. For the best-selling games of the decade, the list contains no console exclusives dominated by Call of Duty. For the best-selling games of the year, the list contains only exclusives by Nintendo. For the best-selling games of December 2019, this list is dominated by Nintendo. Question, are PlayStation still poised to win the next generation? As much as we love PlayStation exclusives, it looks like they do not translate to sales. Death Stranding is not on the list of the best-selling for the month or the year. However, on the list is a lot of third-party games. I'm positive that if we look at the sales numbers, you will see that any game on their respective lists will be nowhere near the juggernauts that are Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto 5. With the Switch not being powerful enough for third-party games, and Microsoft saying they will not make deals to make any game/game content console exclusive apart from their own, Sony has free reign of the market to make deals with companies to make their games have exclusivity or exclusive games on their console. If Sony makes deals with Activision again for Call of Duty and EA or FIFA/2K or NBA 2K, all of those gigantic fan bases are almost guaranteed to buy the PS5 over the Xbox. Should Microsoft go back on their word and try to sign some exclusivity deals? Hope everyone is well, and blessings to all. Midnight Owl. There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there. No, Xbox shouldn't do that. They should double down on the vision that they have of Game Pass, and you just play Xbox games wherever the fuck you want to play Xbox games. The PlayStation thing, it's like, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to compete with the best-selling games of all time. Those games sell extremely well. Exclusives sell extremely well.
Yeah.
And they continue to over the life cycle of the console. So I think the PlayStation needs to just keep its strategy up. And like when you look at the sales of the exclusive PlayStation games, they're all very high. Even the like the lower end, even the more niche ones, like when it's exclusive, like that, it gives it an added boost.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have the third party things. And John Drake for years over at PlayStation was kind of the guy heading up those third party deals, like making sure that the Call of Duty was going to have that extra oomph, the exclusivity here or there to sway people over to PlayStation over Xbox. And it fucking worked. Like, it's crazy that Call of Duty shifted from Xbox to PlayStation last generation, and it's because of those things. They need to continue that to keep that momentum going into next year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think this also goes back to the conversation we had earlier in this show about, you know, exclusives aren't necessarily only to sell copies. They are also to sell consoles, right? And so I think Last of Us or God of War or whatever game not being in the top 10 for the decade doesn't really mean much to PlayStation, because one, they're exclusive, so they're not going to sell as much as you know, a lot of the other bigger games. Also, like, they're single player. Also, also they're all on one platform. Like, yeah, I mean.
Were you on the show yesterday?
No, I wasn't. It was Greg and
Did they talk
Fran.
About Horizon coming to PC?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, that to me is a great example where it's like, it's good that it's coming to PC, especially mm-hmm. now. Like, it's like, you want to get that oomph of the exclusive, but at some point, it's like, you want to make more money. You want to keep the game going. And also, going into Horizon 2, you want as many people to play Horizon 1 as possible so that when they go into the PS5, they're like, I guess I got to buy the PS5 because I want Horizon 2, and I don't want to wait for the PC version eventually.
Yeah. Now it's time to squad up.
Let's do it, man.
Josh writes in and says, "What's up, Blessing and Tim? I'm a lapsed Monster Hunter World player who put in around 100 hours on PS4 when the game first came out, but have now transitioned to PC. I just beat the main story and will be hopping into Iceborne soon and would like some help hunting some monsters after we're done doing our taxes." What's with everybody in taxes today?
It's tax PC, season, man. Bless. Yeah.
And I guess it is tax season. Yeah.
I mainly play Charge Blade. If anyone wants to help me out, add me on Steam.
J Hugs,
all one word.
Really quick, I just want to, on the show officially, I was in the chat talking to one nanobiologist, and we have made an official pizza bet, so I want to make it official on the show.
Oh.
We're betting, nanobiologist thinks that the Harry Potter game, that this unofficial, possibly leaked Harry Potter game, is going to come out before WB Montreal's Batman game. So we have a pizza bet going.
Oh.
So if Harry Potter, if the Harry Potter game comes out before the Batman game, I have to get nanobiologists a pizza. And this is nanobiologist's words. If the Batman game comes before the Harry Potter game, the nanobiologist gets all of us pizza. So there you go.
Oh, it's a lot of pizza.
It's a lot of pizza. I hope he knows what he's
getting
himself into.
He's very confident in this bet, and I think he's silly for it. But I respect it.
Let's get into You're Wrong. The nanobiologist writes in and says, Minecraft was released as a beta in May 17th, 2019, and it had a full release in November 18th, 2011. So there you go. Minecraft at Alpha launch was worth $13, then went up to $20 on December 22nd, 2010. And then
Robbie Rob's saying that there were two single-player games on the list, Skyrim and Breath of the Wild.
Cool.
We were saying it was just Skyrim.
Oh, gotcha.
And then Arvel says 6DOF means 6 degrees of freedom.
Whoa.
This is a method for calibrating the camera with respect to the surroundings in a 3D dimensional space.
Dude, 6 degrees of freedom sounds like a Spike Lee film. Yo, I'd watch that. Of course, I mean, that pretty much does it for the show. Thank you guys so much. Let's get into the post show. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve.